Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, reading from chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Let us listen for God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Amen. When we move from the end of the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew to the beginning of the third chapter, we suddenly jump ahead 30 years. We leave behind the story of Jesus as a young child and immediately start talking about him as a fully grown adult. If we are interested in what happens in the years in between, Matthew does not have anything to offer us. Instead, Matthew wants to take us right to the moment when Jesus is about to start his public ministry. This is, of course, a very important moment in Jesus' life. Everything in Jesus' quiet life as a small town carpenter is about to change in a very big way. It's at this significant moment that Jesus meets up with his cousin, John. John is already a very well-known person. Everyone in Israel knows him as John the Baptist. John is a preacher, but he's an unusual kind of preacher. He doesn't show up in the formal surroundings of the local synagogue. Instead, he's out in the desert, wearing camel hair clothes and eating locusts. When people come to hear him preach, he tells them they need to get ready for the kingdom of God. And then he baptizes them. This he does right out under the open sky in the Jordan River. Big crowds of people come from all over the place to be baptized by John. One day, as he's waist deep in the river, John sees someone he doesn't expect in the line of people waiting to be baptized. It's Jesus. Jesus has come from Nazareth all the way to the Jordan Valley to be baptized. John may be happy to see his cousin, but he's very uncomfortable with the idea of baptizing him. Even though he's the famous preacher, and Jesus is still just an unknown carpenter, John knows that Jesus is much greater than he is. John says to Jesus, "I should be baptized by you. You shouldn't be coming to me." But Jesus says, "No, this is the right thing to do." So John agrees to baptize him. It is, as you might expect, no ordinary baptism. As Jesus is coming up out of the water, he sees the Spirit of God coming down from the sky like a dove and landing on him. Then a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." There at the Jordan River, God is making a big announcement. God is announcing that Jesus is his son. This news truly is the fulfillment of all righteousness. It is the fulfillment of the promise God made long ago that he was going to bring his salvation into the world. That salvation has come in Jesus, the Son of God. Even before Jesus has begun his public ministry, even before he has begun preaching amazing words and doing wondrous miracles, God wants to remove all doubt about who Jesus is. God wants to make it clear that this is the Son of God. Even before Jesus has died on the cross and been raised from the dead, God is making it clear, this is the Son of God. Jesus is very different from all the other people waiting by the Jordan to be baptized. He is nothing less than God's Son. And he is also the Son whom God loves. He is God's beloved Son. The love of God surrounds him. The love of God fills him. The love of God is constantly watching over him. He is loved by God infinitely and eternally. God makes it clear that this love he has for his Son is there right from the very beginning. This is not a love that Jesus has to earn. This is not a love that Jesus has to do anything to deserve. God doesn't say to him, I'm going to wait until you've done everything I ask of you before I tell you I love you. God doesn't hold back his love until he sees Jesus doing the things he's supposed to do. God doesn't put any conditions on his love, conditions that Jesus has to live up to before God will love him. God loves him already. God loves him from the start. God loves him without any conditions. God loves him fully and without reservation. It's obviously important that before Jesus begins his public ministry, that he knows without a doubt that he is loved by God. Jesus is going to face many challenges in the days to come. He's going to go through many hardships. He will not have a home to call his own, but will wander from town to town and village to village. While he will have many people who will follow him, he will also have many people who will oppose him. In fact, the most powerful people in the country will turn against him, and they will organize a plot to have him killed. With all this going on, it's important that Jesus knows that the love of God is with him. It's important that he feels deep within himself that the painful things that are happening to him are not signs that God has turned against him. It's important that he sees that God is guiding him in love through everything that's taking place. And it's important that he knows that God's love is supporting him through even the very worst things that happen. Knowing that he is loved by God will prepare Jesus for what lies ahead of him. This love will be the power that sustains him through everything he is going to go through. When God announces, "This is my Son whom I love," he is saying something unique to Jesus. He's describing the relationship he has with his one and only Son. But when God says this about Jesus, he's also saying it about us. God is saying something that applies not only to his one and only Son, the Savior of the world. God is also saying it about everyone who is a child of God. We are all children of God if we put our faith in Jesus. If we put our faith in Jesus, Christ is our brother, and God the Father is our Father. If we put our faith in Jesus, we are part of the family of God. God looks at each of us and says, "This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my child." We are human beings with a heavenly Father. We belong to God. This is a great honor for us to be children of a great God. It means that we have a very special identity. It means that we are very close to God. We are members of his family. This is important not just because God is the all-powerful creator of the universe. It is important because God is a heavenly Father who loves us. When God looks at us and says, "This is my child," he also adds, "whom I love." We are not children of a distant, angry father. We are children of a loving father. We are children of a father who loves us even before we have done anything to deserve that love. We are children of a father who loves us unconditionally. Knowing this gives us strength when we have to face the challenges that come into our lives. If something goes wrong in our lives, it's easy for us to start thinking, "God doesn't love me. God is angry at me. God is punishing me for something I did." But God never stops loving us, even when we let him down. When we don't do the right thing, God is disappointed. But he doesn't take his love away from us. He still loves us. He still wants to have a relationship with us. He still wants to reach out to us and draw us to himself. Sometimes things are difficult in our lives because we make wrong choices. Sometimes we make things hard for ourselves by going in the wrong direction. But sometimes things are difficult in our lives because we make the right choices. Choosing to put your faith in Jesus is absolutely the right choice. But sometimes that means people are going to oppose you. Sometimes it means you are going to go through difficulties. When that happens, it does not mean that God has stopped loving you. God still loves you very much. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to know that his love will be the power that will sustain you so that you can carry on through whatever happens. When you become a Christian, you get a new name. That new name is Beloved. That is the name that you carry with you. When you are baptized as a new Christian, you may not see a dove come down from heaven and landing on you. You may not hear the voice of God reverberating through the baptistry. But God is telling you in that moment, as you come up out of the water, that you are a beloved child of God. You are his child whom he loves. That is who you are. That is your identity forever. In times of trouble, we need to remember this. In times of discouragement, we need to remember this. In times of suffering and pain, we need to remember this. We need to remember that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from the love that God, our Heavenly Father, has for us. If you are a beloved child of God, that means you are also part of a family of beloved children. When I was growing up, I would sometimes hear older members of the church refer to each other as brother and sister. They would speak of Brother Jones or Sister Smith. It sounded old-fashioned, but it was actually expressing a very deep Christian truth. It was a way of saying that in the church, we are part of a family. We are part of the family of God. We are brothers and sisters to one another. We are beloved children of the same Heavenly Father. And as God has loved us, so we should love one another. That's not always an easy thing to do. There's an old saying that says you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. And in the church, that's very much the case. In the church, we don't choose who our brothers and sisters will be. We don't choose who the other members of the church family will be. God chooses. God decides who our brothers and sisters in Christ will be. That means God brings us together with people we might not otherwise choose to be with. Perhaps these are people who are very different from us. Perhaps they are people who are so much like us that it makes us uncomfortable. Perhaps they are people we are nervous about because we're not sure if we can trust them. Or perhaps they are people that on our own we would just not pay any attention to, because we just don't have anything in common. It is always a mystery why God chooses for us the brothers and sisters in Christ that he does. But there is no mystery about this. Whoever those brothers and sisters in Christ are, he wants us to love them just as he has loved us. There was a time, not that long ago, when this congregation was not as big as it is now. In that smaller congregation, everyone knew everyone else. And it was easy to care for one another because we could see from week to week how everyone was doing. As our congregation continues to grow, this becomes more and more of a challenge. But our church has not become so big that we have stopped being a loving family. There may be more family members than we are used to, but everyone has a place. Everyone is important. Everyone is loved. We particularly need to think of this at a time like this, when so many members of our church are hurting as the result of what happened this past week. An air crash many thousands of kilometers away has brought pain right into the midst of our city and even into the midst of our church. This is not just a story that we see on the news and then move on to something else. This is a tragedy that hits very close to home. It has left a deep wound, and many people are suffering. We are also aware that this air crash took place in the middle of events that almost led to a major war breaking out. Just the thought of that is enough to trouble us. But for many people in our congregation, the fear of war is very personal. Many of our number have family members in Iran. Whatever the politics of what's going on, they are afraid for the safety of their loved ones. It's a time such as this that we need to remember that in this church, we are part of a family. And as members of that family, we need to show our love and support to one another. We need to grieve with those who grieve, and we need to encourage those who need encouragement. We need to hold those who are afraid, and we need to comfort those who have suffered loss. This is what brothers and sisters do. This is what brothers and sisters in Christ are called to do by the Heavenly Father, who loves each one of us. In the family of God, we experience the love of God. The love of God comes to us through the love we have for one another. This love is shown in simple gestures and kind words. It is shown in shared tears and encouraging smiles. It is shown in the quiet presence of the one who comes alongside in a time of need. It is shown in the heart that opens itself to the pain of another. It is shown in the listening ear of the one who does not turn away from suffering. Such love is a gift of God. It comes descending like a dove into our lives and speaks the words that God wants each one of us to hear. This is my child, whom I love. Amen. Let us pray. O God, as your family, meet us here in this place. Bind us together so that we can both give and receive the love that comes from you. We pray in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus our Lord. Amen.